This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're back on the Pulse with Ali and Othniel tonight. We just heard a track by Arlo Parks, Too Good. Very nice, dancey track to kick off our episode of Pulse tonight. And now we're going to go to an exclusive interview with the label owner of 4AD Records.
That's right. If you're unfamiliar with the record label 4AD, I'm pretty sure you've heard of the stuff that they've put out before. I mean, Cocteau Twins, Pixies, The Breeders, St. Vincent, Deer Hunter, The National, Bon Iver, Future Islands, and I'm not even done yet. The list just goes on and on.
Yeah.
They're a pretty big label.
That's right. So it's been 41 years now since the founding days in 1980. The influential label is celebrating this occasion with an 18-track compilation album titled Bills and Aches and Blues, which is a line taken from a Cocteau Twins tune called Cherry Colored Funk.
That's right. In this compilation, 4ADX cover songs from the 4AD catalogue. And this album, which is available on vinyl, will also benefit an after-school program for children who lack access to arts and music education. And so I have on the line right now Simon Halliday, Managing Director of 4AD, joining us all the way from New York, who's here to tell us more. Thank you so much, Simon, for joining us on the show. Now, first up, were you a fan of 4AD Records before joining the label?
Not of everything, of some things. I liked This Mortal Coil and the Cocteau Twins and the Mars, but not everything. I was aware of the label because there was the 80s seemed like the best time for cool independent labels, and 4AD was one of those. However, I think I was more aware of the name and the reputation more than every bit of music on the label.
What would you say is 4AD's differentiating factor compared to your competitors?
I think the history and the fact that the Cocteau Twins and Dead Can Dance and the reputation it had through the 80s gives us that historical weight and importance, which gives us a slight advantage. However, that can also be seen as a disadvantage, because then you have a reputation to uphold and then people will say, oh, well, you're not as good as you used to be. So it goes both ways. It's a reputation is a good thing and a bad thing.
Agreed. Can you share with us how it was like when you took over as the managing director back in 2007? Because there were lots of classic releases that were put out that era by 4AD.
I think it was more of I won't say it was hidden within Beggars, but it was one of many Beggars labels at the time. And I think we've thought that with a few big signings or important signings, that we could reestablish that reputation for them. It was pretty simple in just signing three or four hot acts. Simple, obviously, it wasn't simple. It's very difficult to get the acts that really suit our vibe at that time. But I think we got lucky in a way with Bon Iver and Deer Hunter and Aerial Pink. They really had a modern vibe, but also quite classic in a way. So there was a certain amount of fortune there, because we got lucky with those releases immediately. And most record companies will tell you that it's best to have success at the very start, because it gives confidence at the very start. So when I joined, 4AD already had some good music, some good acts already signed. But I think with the new things that came in, plus the old ones like TV on the Radio and Beirut, it all of a sudden became one strong team. And before it was okay. Those acts were excellent. But I think adding a few more made it project outwards that, oh, wow, 4AD have 10 good acts again. We had a very solid team.
Yeah, what a roster, right? And you guys are celebrating your 40th anniversary with an 18-track compilation album. 40 years in the music business is no small feat. What is 4AD's secret to remaining relevant all these years, you know, having seen so many music trends come and go?
You're right with trends. Things come in and come out. And I think it's better to try and walk a line that doesn't go for the peaks and doesn't go for the troughs, and tries to just stay classic in the middle. And that's easier said than done, because we don't think that way. It just happens that way. You follow the music, and if the music excites you and it feels original and it feels like they're saying something, then just support those musicians and it comes good. It makes the label look good and it works. I mean, 4AD has had some bad times. It's not as though it's all been good. I think in the later 90s, it wasn't as powerful and it lost its way a bit. But I think that the secret has been strong A&R, strong people picking the music. And we've had younger people come in all the time, new A&R people mixed in with older classic taste, because Ed and myself are a bit older and have classic visions of what we think is the best music and how it should be. But when you then mix that in with younger people who have their taste in music, the mixture there, that synergy works for us very well. Because sometimes making choices by committee or joint choices can be problematic because you don't get somebody's real passion. But we've been very lucky in that we have some input on musical taste. But at the top of that input, I don't tend to have much ego about the music we choose. I just want the best music, so I'm not biased in any way. I just want what feels just amazing, and you couldn't have imagined it before you heard it. And we've been very lucky that with the younger people we've had coming through over the last 15 years, they've been very important in bringing the right sort of music in the new world, but also has that old school rubber stamp as well, that, oh yeah, this will be good in 10 years. See, what's very, very fashionable can be very, very unfashionable. So it's better to be, I always think of Prada or Burberry or HBO or, you know, just good brands. They're always kind of in, but they're never at the peak of the cycle. And I feel we're somewhere in that. Because in the early 80s, the reputation it had was deserved. And I think now it's more diverse. Yeah.
Is it always an uphill battle to compete with big budget labels?
No. I think maybe 20 years ago it was, but I feel that 4AD and similar labels, we're quite boutique. We are quite specialist in a way. It's not, it doesn't compete fully pop. And I feel that in our world, the size of the label is optimum. It works. We have a great setup around the world and we can do everything we want to do. We can scale up if things are going well. We have a structure within Beggars which allows us to sell as many as the artist and the vibe wants to sell, with things like the Pixies and Adele on XL, which is through the same group. We have the ability to sell as many as possible. But I think the structure of pop music and hip hop is geared towards major labels because of radio, because of producers. It's just the number of staff needed and the number of people needed on those releases. So yes, there's a restriction in our size in that world, but we're not in that world and we don't really want to be in that world. While we might like the odd Taylor Swift track and a lot of hip, we like those things. But I that's not our game. And I think that being a specialist and boutique-y as we are suits us very well, because it means we can sign things without it having to be huge. We can be there if the circumstances change and there is an opportunity to sell lots of music. It's not our aim. Our aim is to sign things that you say become timeless, and in 10 years we can look back and go, oh yeah, that was good. That's why we did the compilation, really, because we had a lot of new artists, and do it now and then we look back in 10 years and say, oh yeah, that was the start of that person's career. Or this is more looking forward than looking back. We try not to look back a lot. Being retrospective is not what we're about. We focusing on this year and this year alone in a way, and getting it right this year, and the past works itself out. Really, it's nice to have that history, but really we're very focused on making 2021 as good as possible, and 2022, because we have to plan ahead. Size wise I don't feel that's problematic. In fact, I think it's beneficial to be the size we are. It suits us, because a lot of the the juice or what makes us excited. Some of those releases are quite small or start by being quite small. And I would never want to run a label or work in an industry where I couldn't sign US girls because it wasn't seen as financially a responsible decision. We want to go where the music goes, and that's what keeps your soul pure and keeps you happy about your job, because I love my job. And I think at the label, we all love our jobs because it's a challenge, of course, but it's like a hobby come to life. The challenges are good, basically.
Thanks for mentioning US Girls, Simon. I really love that band. And now back to the compilation to celebrate your 40th anniversary. These are a bunch of cover versions of the bands on the 480 roster doing other songs by other bands on the roster. Do you have a favorite cover in this compilation?
Difficult, because it changes as the more I listen to it. I think maybe the Aldous Harding one, only because it made me confused. When I first heard it, I didn't know what was going on. I was quite confused. And at first, I like that idea in my mind that you can change your idea on something, or when something just surprises you so much, you don't know what you think of it. Because halfway through, I was thinking, oh, I don't know if I like this. But by the second listen, I was like, oh, I love this. And now there's personality all over it. And I think with art and with music in particular, there's a fine line between being amazing and being bad. The special artist can walk that line very well. I feel people like Tuneyards and Aldous Harding and hopefully Dry Cleaning when they're in the future, they're doing things which in less talented hands could be bad, but they get it right. And I like that idea that, that could have gone wrong. Because I was nervous when I was hearing like remixes of Song to the Siren and Cannonball. I was a bit nervous, like, oh my gosh, how can you even cover these songs? So I like feeling that dread, because it shows you that you're in a position of challenging yourself and being uncomfortable. And luckily, none of them were like, oh, that was terrible. But even if somebody did a mix that was outlandish and you couldn't get your head round, maybe in 5 years, somebody did get their head round it and created something else from it. Nothing is static. Everything goes on and changes bit by bit. And one generation taking a piece of music and making it their own and leading to another thing. I love that idea of randomness and excitement. And life isn't that predictable. Some things are predictable, but a lot of things are unpredictable. And I think the idea of unpredictability and not knowing where something is going to go is appealing to me.
Simon Halliday, Managing Director of 4AD Records, thank you so much for speaking to us. Before we get to the next part of the show, I think it's only right if you play a track from that compilation. The compilation is called Bills and Aches and Blues. Here's a track from it. Simon's favourite track, one of his favourite tracks, Aldous Harding with Revival, originally by Deer Hunter, right here on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.